Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Hello and welcome to the Millwall Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio. You're with me, Johnny Burrow and Darren James, Ted Robinson and Stan Godwin of No One Likes Us Talking. Gents, there's good news and there's bad news. The good news is you're safe, you're still in the Championship for another year. The bad news is the performance at Bristol City, against Bristol City I should say, wasn't perfect. And the gaffer had some fairly strong words for his players after the game.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you could. I mean, well, I didn't. Yeah, he did. As it turned out, he did. I didn't actually hear him, but I mean, I read about it later on, and I was trying to picture him in my mind, and I've since heard him I've seen the video of it. I didn't. I mean, it was fairly strong stuff. I'm not arguing. I mean, if that's what he thinks and that's what he reckons, then that's what he reckons. I mean, we knew that we don't know what it was, but clearly for reasons that some of them players just weren't performing.
So for anyone listening who hasn't heard what Bomber said, he said, "Some people have let me down this year, let the football club down, a lot that won't come out, that has made it difficult. We have to invest, get better players in over the course of the summer because the Championship's getting better, and if we don't, then we are getting further away from teams in the Championship. I cannot be any clearer. I only want people who want to be at this football club within my changing room."
Well said, Neil Harris. It speaks for us all. Good evening, everyone. Neil Harris has always been a legend to all of us, and I like honest talk. And that man, he epitomises what Millwall are about. And if everybody had the guts and determination of Lee Gregory, who has given 100%...
Lovely goal as well.
Terrific goal. He gives his all, and what I love about Lee Gregory, even when he's injured, he puts a shift in. If all our players played like him, Neil Harris wouldn't have come out with the comments that he did about other players. Obviously, he hasn't named names, but we all know, sort of.
Well, so with that was going to be the question, Darren. You're saying you agree with Harris. For you three, guys who watch Millwall week in, week out, has there been a building frustration for you as well? And who are the players who you reckon Harris is clearing out?
Well, when a side starts struggling, Johnny, you have to listen to Neil and pick it out bit by bit. He says, for the last 3 years... we've been quite successful up until this season. And that's been built on a team ethic. It's got to be at Millwall. We don't pay enough money to have great individual styles out. We have to have a side. And all the great Millwall sides that we've had down the years have got that work ethic in there. Now, if you get one or two bad apples within that, then that completely throws a side out. And in some ways, to me, Neil's comments have explained some of the performances that we've seen out there. I wouldn't say there haven't been... there's been effort in there and that, but there's been something missing. Now, Neil sees these guys week in, week out. We only see them on a Saturday or a Tuesday night and whatever. There's obviously something, I think it was a bit of a release for Neil that he could actually say something, come out at the right time, because I suppose if he'd have said it 3 or 4 games ago when we're still battling to make sure we're safe, it may well not have been the right time. He obviously felt after Tuesday night it was the right time to say it. And like Darren said, fair play to him. He's come out. I could never understand anyway, Johnny, if a player don't want to be at your club or he doesn't want to play, you know, get him out straight away. I wouldn't wait till the end of the season. If he'd said that to me at some point or the other, I'd have just sent him home and said, don't bother coming back. Because the trouble is with a player like that is he can start spreading that sort of feeling amongst the side. And that's what I think Neil was getting at. There must have been one or two of them there that perhaps didn't like what Neil was saying or doing and then started... You know, you've got to have everybody pulling in the right way, and every player has to follow what the manager wants. If you haven't got that, you're going to have anarchy amongst your team and you won't have a good team.
So do you think what Harris is actually talking about is a potential lack of respect from a few of his players?
Yeah, it seems
could
to be.
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah, it seems to be. I mean, when football is always a bit cloak and dagger when you come out with these sort of things. You never quite get to the bottom of what it actually was. But the boys at the training ground and the players, they will all know what he's talking about. I'm sure Neil's hinted at it or whatever as it's gone along, and he's let one or two people know. But at the end of the day, he was fighting a relegation battle. He couldn't upset the apple cart too much. He still needed a team to go out there and play, you know. And I think by the
so you think he's waited? You think for a while he's wanted to come out and say this, and he's gone, you know what, I need to keep the squad together. Right, now we're safe, you're having it.
Oh, you can have it. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, rightly so, like Darren said, absolutely rightly so. Because if you feel in any walk of life that people have let you down when you've expected something from them, especially the standards that people expect in Championship football, if these guys haven't been putting it in or they haven't been pulling their weight at training, I mean, I've heard one or two rumours of people turning up late and things like that that have been going on. That is unprofessional. What he was saying about he wants better pros, he wants people got passion, he wants people that want to play. That is the only way we can have a successful Millwall side. So I agree 100% with Neil, and he's got a lot to do in the summer, by the way, a hell of a lot.
And that was one of the things he touched on, Stan, saying he needs to bring in better players. With these suggestions of unprofessional behaviour, do you think he needs to be careful, not just in terms of the quality of player he recruits, but the kind of bloke he recruits?
Well, you do, but yeah, clearly does. But you see, I remember when they changed the recruiting system, right, and it was explained. Me and Ted was at a meeting a couple of years ago with the previous CEO, and we asked, well, what was the changes? And he was saying, oh, well, what we're going to do is we're going to get these people come in and they're going to look at these players and we're going to make sure they've got no skeletons in the cupboard and all this sort of thing. So we know exactly what we're signing here, right? Now, so from that point of view, yeah, I mean, but, you know, I mean, Neil's turned around and said this week that he reckons that players have come up to him and said to him, I don't want to play for the club no more. I'm not saying that's not true for a minute. I mean, he would know, but I mean, because then it's then the problem, isn't it? Why is it they don't want to play for the club? Are these players, some of the names that's going to be, their contracts have run out this summer or not? Well, if that's the case, then that's not a problem.
Just get rid of them.
Right. You still get rid of them anyway, but you see, the thing is, for all what Neil's saying, right, and he's saying we've got to get rid of these players and we've got to bring in better... I don't have an argument yet. The question's going to be, what's Berylson and the board going to do? Because it's no good him turning around and saying, well, you know, financial fair play and all this sort of stuff, which he does say from time to time, and he's going to have to... They're going to have to invest some serious money in players.
What Neil should have done is said to them players that come up and said that to him, OK, mate, you're on the bench on Saturday. And when Saturday comes, says, right, go up now and tell that lot over there that you don't want to play for this club anymore.
See what they
would have had there, you know. I think that's the most ridiculous statement that anyone could play. What you want is the character in a player that, whether he's being picked or not, is going to put 110% in his training every day to try and say to the manager, you should be picking me. I've got nothing against the player who goes and knocks on the manager's door and says, why ain't you picking me, boss? Because then it's up to Neil Harris to say, well, I'm not picking you because you're not doing this, you're not doing that.
Absolutely, and that's what that response should be, Ted.
I think that's what Neil means by good pros and good... You know, you understand there's only 11 you can pick, so some players are going to be disappointed of a Saturday when they're not picked. And they should be disappointed. They shouldn't just stroll over on the bench and say, oh, he's not picked me. He should be, you know, saying, oh, I'm going to show him. He should be picking me.
Very good example of that, by the way, is Andy Robertson at Liverpool, who's now being hailed as the best left-back in England, possibly the best left-back in Europe. After he arrived from Hull, he couldn't get in that Liverpool team for love nor money, and it's been said by both him and Jurgen Klopp that he went and knocked on Klopp's door, fairly forcefully, shall we say, and said, listen, I'm good enough. Why aren't you picking me? What do I have to do? Klopp said, you need to work on X, Y, and Z. He started working, he improved, and now look where he is. So perhaps that is what Harris is calling for. One man who didn't ever shirk the responsibility of wearing the Millwall shirt is former captain Les Brierley, and he's going to be on the line in just a moment.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the East and North sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors,
Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
This is Love Sport.
It's the Millwall Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio. Just a quick note to tell you that No One Likes Us Talking's Guess the Gate competition is currently live on Twitter. You can just enter at Millwall No One Likes Us Talking and you could win a couple of No One Likes Us Talking mementos. If you want to send your guests to us, then they will ensure that you are entered. Guys, what are the mementos? I'm always rather intrigued. What do you win?
You have to ask George that because he keeps them locked away somewhere. It takes some breaking down to get to them. So I'm not sure. Is it? I don't know whether it's key rings and things like that. I think mugs. There's a lot of mugs in No One Likes Us Talking. So.
Apparently some mugs in the Millwall squad, of course. If Neil Harris is to be believed. And Stan, not saying that these guys are the mugs, but you've got a list of the players who are out of contract.
Yeah, I got it today. The players that are out of contract, I mean, apart from Lee Gregory we know about, you've got Jordan Archer, Dave Martin, Tom King, Conor McLaughlin, Sid Nelson, who's been out on loan for about 3 years now. Ryan Tunnicliffe, Tom Elliott and Steve Morrison.
So which of those players would you be desperate to see stay?
Well, for me, I mean, one of the things what I would say at this particular moment in time, I mean, in my opinion, Dave Martin's been that good. I would make him the number one goalkeeper.
Fantastic against Stoke again.
Yeah, he would be my number one keeper and I'd give him a 2-year contract. That's it, full stop, if it was down to me.
I second that.
So you'd need to have a... Now, whether Archie's... If you're then looking for a decent number two... The trouble is with Archer, I mean, he's not been with it for one reason or the other. But Tom King, when he was playing, he did okay and he was there. And by the way, we've had Amos at Millwall, haven't we? And he's likely to go because he's on loan.
Well, he's only on loan from Bolton. So I wouldn't be at all surprised if Ben Amos turns up at Millwall next year.
I might be right, Tim.
Our new goalkeeping coach was his goalkeeping coach at Charlton and we nicked the coach from there and he brought Ben Amos back with us. And to be fair to Ben Amos, I don't think he was doing too much wrong when he was playing in the side and that. But I can't agree any more to Stan about... Of course I can agree. Dave Martin, he's earned. He has earned himself a contract. There's no doubt in that. I think it would be criminal if we didn't take him on because not only has he been a decent keeper and a good keeper, he's brought a lot of sternness and stiffness to that back four that was creaking a little bit before he came in. I mean... The only thing is, someone said to me the other night, what's he keep shouting for? I'm going to need earmuffs from him. You could hear him all over the pitch.
You want that from your keeper?
Of course
though.
You do. I said, that's what he should be doing. It's not him. It's Jordan Archer doesn't do that, you know? And so I think Dave Martin's not even in question in my eyes. He'd be one of the keepers there next year.
Absolutely. And he's, of course, an example of good player recruitment from the club. But Darren, I know you've got your doubts about that side of things more broadly.
Quite frankly, player recruitment is a massive problem in my eyes. Dave Martin, we just mentioned, that was a good free transfer signing. I'd like someone to explain to me why Scalac was purchased for a fee of approximately, allegedly, £800,000.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. He hadn't played for Brighton. He'd been injured for some time. Very skillful player when he can be bothered to turn up. But Neil's been very good at wheeling and dealing. We've had players on loan and we've... checked them out and we've seen if they're good enough, if they've got the spirit, if they can handle the crowd, if they can handle playing for us. And I don't know why he didn't get Scalac in on loan instead of spending all that money on him.
Well, I mean, the only answer I can give you on that, possible answer on that, Darren, I mean, I keep saying this, but I remember it. You know, we signed Scalac and Harris said, I've been after him for free transfer windows.
He did, yeah.
Now, you know, so you think, well, OK, then this bloke's
must
got,
be
got,
sure.
Yeah, and he ain't played him. For whatever reason, that ain't happened. No, I don't understand
that. We come back to the age-old argument about recruitment again and whatever. And I'll say this every time. It's not necessarily about the money because there's
right.
a perfect example. Right, yeah. Scalac, if we have paid whatever, you know, for Darren Herder, if it's anywhere near that or whatever, it hasn't worked. So it's not about the money you're spending. It's about what you get for what you invest in a player. The best players that we've ever had have all been the ones we've not paid a lot of money for. You know?
Well, most players you get in today, especially in the Football League, most of them like, for example, I mean, take, for example, Tomili, and I'm not, but what I'm saying, when we signed him, his contract had run out. I mean, what I'm saying is, in the Football League now, most players move, don't they? Gary Alexander, we signed him when he was out of contract. That's how they operate now in the Football League.
Well, Tom Elliott could have been a bargain buy. Yeah. He could have been, but it doesn't seem to have worked out.
No, that's right.
I don't doubt we'll let him go and he'll go and sign for someone else and come back down the den and be a right thorn in our side, because he's always a bit of an handful. And at the end of the day, that's probably the reason we signed him, because when he played against us for Wimbledon, he was an handful. He scored against us and we couldn't really hold him down. But he hasn't worked. But it doesn't mean he ain't going to be a good player somewhere else. Mm. Sometimes it just doesn't happen for players at clubs. And, you know, what Neil's problem in the summer is, he's got to find, in my opinion, 5 or 6 players like that will fit into
Millwall. Yeah, that's right, yeah.
And Stan, the point you make is a very good one about transfers at this level often being cheap or indeed free. The Championship's top scorer this season, Teemu Pukki of Norwich, was a free transfer. We know that there isn't going to be many, many millions of quid flying around for Neil Harris in the summer. But are there any players who've caught your eye who might be available on the cheap?
Messi.
couple of quid in a Mars bar.
Yeah. He certainly caught me eye.
I mean, but then again, you see, I mean, you know, you look at some of these players that we play against, and you sort of look at their history. I mean, he was one player. I mean, he was playing for Ipswich, or not Ipswich, it was Norwich or something. In his record, he'd come from Ireland. Yeah. He'd played all his career in Ireland. You know, Cork City and all. I mean, no disrespect to, but I mean,
I think
they're not
some disrespect.
No, but what I'm getting at is, even when you sign the players, right, you know, they don't have to be big money signings. I mean, the centre half at Norwich come from the German second division. Mm. Now, he's a good player, and obviously the manager's German, so he knows him. So you've got to look around. People have got to be looking around for these players, haven't they?
You cannot buy spirit. And we could go out if we had the money and spend £1 million, £3 million, £5 million. But at the Den on a Saturday afternoon, when we're playing a team, no disrespect, but Rotherham and the teams down the bottom, and people turn up and they think, oh, we'll definitely beat them. We need something to lift the team. We need something to lift the supporters. And I believe the supporters need to be a little bit more vociferous, a little bit more singy, and just getting G'ing the players up. I've spoken to players and the management about this. When Neil Harris used to play for us and everyone was singing his name, it was fantastic. But unfortunately, people go in the stadium now and they're on their phones, and there's not the atmosphere there used to be. And I think it very much, in terms of the players we get in, they need to be encouraged, you know. And it's really hard. I mean, if I'd been good enough to play professional football, obviously Mill and my team, but you really have got to have something. I think it must be one of the hardest teams to play for Millwall, because we're all very wanting our team to do well. We can't always win, but we lose against the really lower teams.
There's got to be a certain character within you, certain character within you to withstand what Millwall fans throw at you and what we expect. We will always forgive someone if he's putting 110% in, you know, but you know what I mean? He might not be the greatest player in the world. Jimmy Abdu wasn't the greatest player in the world, but he became our player of the year a couple of occasions, like, you know, because we see him putting that effort in, week out. Mm-hmm. And that's what we ask.
You need that scrap in the stands. You need that fight on the pitch. And talking of which, I'm delighted to say we'll be joined by Les Brierley, former captain of the club, of course, in the top division, in just a moment.
This is Love Sport.
You're listening to the Millwall Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio. You're with me, Johnny Burrow and Darren James, Ted Robinson and Stan Godwin of No One Likes Us Talking. And it's my pleasure to say we're also joined on the line by Les Brierley, captain of the only Millwall side that got to the top flight in the late 1980s. Good evening, Les. Thanks ever so much for joining us. Do you back what Neil Harris says? Do you think this squad has got some rotten apples in it?
It's difficult because there's a lot of new players in the squad this year, and there wasn't there last year. There probably is one or two, but that's the manager's job. He's got to find that out. You know, it's not for us to find that out. He's got to find that out, and if he thinks that, then I think you have to back him, because so far he's done a fantastic job for the club, I think.
John Doherty wouldn't have put up with any bad apples, would he, Liz?
No, Johnny Dodd didn't put up with any tackles.
You'd have known about it, mate, wouldn't you? No, but I mean, that's the bottom line, though, Les, isn't it? We all know, and we say it time and time again, that Millwall, good Millwall sides, great Millwall sides like the one that you played in, it's all built around that team ethic, isn't it?
Yeah, it's all about team spirit, it has to be said. And we had that in the side that I played in, and we were fortunate. John had built a camaraderie, a team spirit, and Neil has done the same thing. Don't forget, for the first 3 years, Neil Harris got promoted, promotion after promotion, and then we had a fantastic year in the Championship last year. It's this year that things have gone a little bit pear-shaped, and we've struggled. Don't forget, it's your second year in, and the second year in the Championship, you get found out. No matter what league you play in, you get found out. I don't care what you say. Top flight, we got found out second year, and we got relegated. So that's bound to happen for me.
Well, strange thing about Neil for me, Les, is I still class him in a sense as a young manager. You know, he's learning a little bit, learning his trade, and all. Yeah, I think he's the second longest manager in the Championship now, like for being at a club. But I still believe that Neil's finding his way. Would you agree with that?
No, I think he's found his way. I think to be as successful as he has been, you know, a promotion, and then to finish chasing, nearly a promotion again, or playoffs, so to speak. I think he's found his way and what he wants to do. And I think the way he's handled the side this year has been outstanding, because the players have not performed as well this year. And he's had to juggle, he's had to play different systems, he's had to bring people in, he's had to drop people. Whereas last year, he had more consistent players, and the team was more consistent for the last probably 15, 17 games. They went on a great run because he had a consistent side.
I think
this year we haven't had a consistent side this year.
Yeah. I think the trouble is with Les, I think in this day and age, is that football fans are very fickle, aren't they? And they have short memories, because as you say, I mean, he must be the only manager thinking about it, that when we got relegated from the Championship, or what used to be the second division, and got us back in sort of record time. I mean, you know, it was like we was out a year, weren't we, or 2 years, and then we were back. I mean, other times, I think we've been out 5 and 6 years.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why I think, look, Neil Harris is the best manager we've had since God knows, you know, I mean, Ian Holloway and people we've had before, who have cost the club an absolute arm and a leg and a fortune. And Neil's done it on a shoestring budget. So you have to back what he's done. He's done a fantastic job. Absolutely marvellous job. And I think the fans are too quick to turn on him. Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, that's right. I mean, talking about managers, I mean, one of the guys that's been promoted this year, I mean, Chris Wilder at Sheffield United. I mean, I remember a couple of years ago when he was his first season at Sheffield United, because they hadn't won about the first half a dozen games, they were calling for his head. And they stuck with him, the board, and they got promoted with record points, and they're now in the Premier League.
Well, there you go. And it just goes to show, you know, Neil's been at our club as a player. He's the best goal scorer we've ever had. He beat Teddy Sheringham's record, which was outstanding. You know, he's gone on to be a manager. He's a legend. And he's done a fantastic job, promotion after promotion. And then last year, first year in Championship, and we finished where we finished, was outstanding. Second year, you get found out, and a lot of people are calling for his head. I think it's the worst thing that could ever possibly happen. Really do.
Les, what do you make of his style of football? Because I know some people aren't delighted. Are you a fan of it?
Well, to be fair, we played a direct system and it worked for us. And he played in a side that had a direct system as well, and it was successful. So, to be honest, we're not classy enough to be able to play around like 55 passes, then get the ball out wide, then cross the ball in the box, and then score a goal. We can't do that. It's not Millwall style, and it's not the Millwall way, because we, you know, traditionally have had teams that get the ball forward early, get the ball in the box early and score goals, you know. And it's the way we play. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with playing directly.
Well,
I do like the way he's changed the system and changed the shape of the side. He's done fantastic playing different systems, and especially the second half of the season. That's what's kept us in games. You know, the draws that we've got, and the way he's, if you look at the first half of the season, the goal difference in the first half of the season compared to the second half of the season, the goal difference is much better than the first half of the season.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, Les, I mean, I hear what you say about the, you know, the side of football, because that's been my biggest problem. I mean, the system, right, is, it doesn't matter to me, because as long as we don't have square pegs in round holes, that's fine, you know.
Yeah.
I just think the problem is with this Route 1 stuff, right, or direct, whatever you want to call it, is that we're playing in a division now, aren't we? If you look at these the teams in the Championship, I mean, we must be about the only team, or might be one other, that play that. And the problem for me is once you do that and you keep giving the ball away as we've done, it's a long time before you get it back. And, you know, and it goes down to me, it's the old adage, isn't it? Don't matter how good the opposition are, if they ain't got the ball, they can't hurt you. But if we keep giving it to them, we're going to get punished. And I just think that's what's happened this time.
Yeah, I take on board your point, and I think you've got a good point there. But I think it's all about us. I mean, we're a side that currently will create 10 or 12 chances and only score one goal, maybe.
Mm.
You know, we're not clinical enough.
No, I agree with that.
And that's not a criticism against us, but that's just the way, it's just the way we play, and that's just the way we are. You know, we have to be more clinical, and I think I've said this because I commentate. You know, I've said this in commentary, that we do have to be more clinical. You know, the amount of times you see a ball come in the six-yard box and somebody shanks it over the bar or screws it wide or whatever. But you'll see that four or five times. But more clinical finishing is what's required. But then that depends on how much you players are earning and the better quality of players that you're going to get in. And I think we have to get better quality players than what we've got
to currently stay
in the Championship. And I think Neil knows that. Neil, you know, he's not silly, he knows that. You know, depending on whether you sell Jay Cooper and then he gets part of the money back to invest in players of better quality. And that is what we need. We need players of better quality than what we've had this season, I think.
Perhaps a new striker is the order of the day. And Neil, of course, knows a thing or two about those. Les, it's been lovely to speak to you. Thanks ever so much for joining us. Les Brierley there, captain of the only Millwall side that got to the top flight back in the late 1980s. A quick reminder for you that No One Likes Us Talking's Ted's Prediction League, and I'm honoured to have Ted sitting opposite me. Ted's Prediction League finishes this Sunday, and the winner will be announced midweek. And because you like it so much, there's going to be a Summer Prediction League too, just to keep you thinking, keep you ticking over before next season begins. Watch out on social media links for further details. And coming up, it's the segment we like most, really. It's Fan in the Dugout, where one of you gets a chance to argue with Neil Harris, a braver man than me.
This is Love Sport.
It's the Millwall Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio, and it's time for the feature Fan in the Dugout. If you're new to this, here's how it works. Very, very simple. We get one of you on the line and you're allowed to make three changes to the lineup or the system for the next game. Of course, the lads can relax a bit against Wigan because they are safe, so perhaps an opportunity to experiment. Our Fan in the Dugout this week is Mick Caulfield. Evening, Mick. Thanks ever so much for joining us. Are you going to go for an experimental side, given you're already safe?
I think a little bit, yeah. In particular, I'd like to see is Alexander up front.
So this is, of course, related to a different Alexander who we know rather well.
Yeah, indeed. Gary, the son of Gary Alexander.
Is he good enough, or is he just Gary Alexander's son?
Well, I mean, I think he's probably good enough because he's been on the bench a couple of times this season. So I haven't actually seen him myself. But, I'd like to give him a go.
The thing is, you won't know, Mick, until you play him.
That's right.
That's always the same with these young lads, and there's nothing to lose in this game.
Well, I recall Sid Nelson being terrific in the youth team and the reserve team, and Holloway brought him in, and I believe he wrecked his career. He was too young. He wasn't experienced enough. I know you'd need to play to get a bit of experience, but with respect to Alexander, maybe in a year, 18 months, 2 years, he needs to get a bit of weight on, he needs to get a bit of meat on. Wigan will knock him all around the place. I'm sorry, but I wouldn't give him a go at all.
I mean, Michael.
I think the thing with Nelson, I think you said it there, Holloway messed him up by making him captain, by playing him virtually every week, week in, week out, and giving him a hell of a lot of responsibility. Whereas with the young lad Alexander, I mean, it could just be a one-off game for the season. And then, like you say, build him up for next season and then put him in when he's ready.
Mm. Yeah, I know what Darren's saying, Mick, because I see him when they do the kickabout before the game and they have their shots of goal, it's right in front where I sit. And he's a bit of a slip of a lad, to be quite honest, at the moment. And you don't want a guy getting sort of beaten up just for the sake of it, in a sense. But on the other end, as I say to you, I am a believer in, you don't know how good they are until you throw them in.
Watch them get kicked by Wigan.
Get kicked by the big boys, yeah. But it's a one-off game and there's nothing on it. So, listen, it wouldn't bother me if there was one or two of the young lads out there.
Yeah. I mean, I went the other week though, Mick. I went down to Charlton because they play Millwall. and we had in our team. We had Archer in goal, Scalak, Elliot, and Fred playing. But I was keeping an eye on Gary Alexander's boy. He did okay, but the trouble is, he's academy games. I mean, I don't think they're as good as like the old South East Counties. You know, I mean, that's my opinion. And I just thought he needs to bulk out a bit myself. But, I mean, you know, we could bring him on for half an hour, couldn't we, and play the game and see how he does, because there's nothing on it. Yeah. So, I mean, you can't do him no harm. I mean, because until you play him, you're never going to know.
No, it's very true, Mick. I think that's a cracking first suggestion. You've got two more. What are you going for next?
Well, this probably, I mean, there isn't actually that many that are fit, to be honest, but to change things around. But the one I really like, Dave Martin. I think Stan said that, you know, he'd be signed on the dotted line. I'd agree with that. But I also like Tom King. Mm-hmm. I thought he did really well in the Cup a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
I think Archer's on his way out, to be honest. And, Archer's on his way out. So I'd like to give Tom a game in goal. Maybe he can show again what he did in the Cup. I'd have next season Martin and Tom King, with Martin as the number one.
Good shout. Yeah. I rate Tom King. He did have a good run in the Cup. I'm not sure if he's available this weekend, though. I don't know whether he was out on loan. I don't know where he's been. I've not seen him at the club for a long time. But he did well in the Cup. The Spurs game, we obviously didn't do too well performance-wise. He'd had an all right game. I think he gave away the fifth or sixth goal. He had a bit of a drama with that one. But I think it's a good shout, Mick. I'd like to see him as a second goalkeeper, as backup to Martin, definitely.
He's a nice bloke as well, Mick. I was fortunate enough to have him on my table at the end of season two, and he's a real nice lad, Tom King. He's one of them guys you would love to see succeed, like, you know. But I'm not sure it's going to be at Millwall, if I'm honest, because he's been out on loan a few occasions and that. And I think, you know, with some of the performances of our goalkeepers this year, I know we turned to Dave Martin, but you may well have thought that Tom King might have had a shout by now. But let's hope that Neil's listening and you've told him to put him in on Sunday. He has a blinder and we get him signed up, mate.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't disagree with you, Mike. The only possible problem for me for this week is what Darren said. I've got an idea he's probably out on loan, and if that's the case, then we ain't about to play him up. Well, I say that depending on who he's at. But I mean, if he wasn't out on loan, then I don't have a problem in playing.
No, absolutely. Mick, you got one more. What are you going for?
I'm going to go, and I think, I'm not sure he's going to be here after Sunday, but I'm going to go for Fred. I think Fred really he's promised a lot, a hell of a lot, and he's never quite delivered. I actually think he's probably one of the ones Harris is talking about. But I'd give him a go and just say, right, last chance saloon, go for it, score a hat trick, you know, whatever you have to do to get a contract, and do it.
The frustrating.
That's a skill to add.
But that's the frustrating thing with Fred, Michael, is we've been saying, on, well, I have, certainly have over the years, we had the run in the FA Cup when he played up front and he was a fawn in Premier League sides. You know what I mean? The Premier League players that were trying to mark him were struggling with him. And you think, you've got something here, we've got something, like, you know. Then all of a sudden, it disappear out of games, you know. It was, we've always been waiting for Fred to deliver on the league front, you know. I can remember his debut against Charlton. He was the best player on the pitch.
On his debut, yeah.
Yeah, he was the best player on the pitch. And you think, we've actually got a kid here that's really going to be something, like, you know. But I'm still sitting here thinking to myself, Fred could be a good footballer. It may well be too long for it. It may well turn out to be. Go somewhere else and be brilliant. But I don't think it's going to be at Millwall.
Got to say, Fred ain't going to cut it at Millwall. The last memory we'll have of him playing at the Den was when he tripped over the ball. He come on the sub and he tripped over the ball. It could have been great for us and for him, but it didn't work out. And that's been his career at Millwall.
Yeah, I mean, to me, Fred is a conundrum wrapped in an enigma. I mean, you can't, you know. I mean, I don't know. I mean, supposedly, I mean, these are the stories you hear, Michael. But I mean, one of the stories is he's had a big falling out with Neil Harris, right? I mean, it might well be, if it's the case, he could have turned around and said to Neil Harris, look, I was out on loan at Wickham, you pulled me back here and I ain't played. I'd rather have been back out of Wickham. And perhaps if he said that to Harris, Harris has got the ache and has been a big row. I mean, if he did say that, to be fair, I have some sympathy with the bloke. Because he wants to play football. Don't be sitting on the bench all the time. But no, he's a good player. But I mean, and I know the cock up he made against where he fell over the ball. But I mean, to be fair to him, he'd come on. He got about 6 minutes left. You know, I mean, surely we can't suddenly then say, well, because of that one issue, but that's a problem.
He fell over the ball before, though.
No, I'm talking about one was when he was nearly scored.
The other thing with Fred, Michael, he's had chances. You know, when you've seen Fred actually playing games, and you think, go on, Fred, get out there, prove yourself, show Neil Harris that on Saturday, you know, some of the League Cup games and whatever, go and show Neil Harris that you should be in that starting line on it. And he hasn't done it. And you think to yourself, I'm not sure whether the kid's attitude's 100% right. I know in this day and age with footballers, and I've heard a little rumours here and there, agents get into players' ears and start talking to them and saying that they're better than they really are, you should be in, and all this sort of stuff. These boys need to get away from them people and listen to your manager. If your manager wants you to do something, go out and do it and you'll be in a team. It's simple.
Absolutely. Mick, you're a patient man. You're saying one more chance for Fred on your dinner, which we like. Mick, you've been a fantastic fan in the dugout. Thanks ever so much for joining us. Mick Caulfield there with his suggestions. An emphasis on youth. And why not? Because it's a free hit. Let's see what they've got. It is, of course, Wigan coming up. We've heard how Mick would approach the game. But after the break, we're going to be hearing from Barry Worthington of Latics Spake to find out how Wigan will be approaching Millwall.
This is Love Sport.
That's right, it's time for the opposition view, where we find out how the next opponents are going to approach the game. But just before that, there's a small matter that we've got to attend to. It's time for... Oh, he's going to get there. He's going to get there. There it is.
George's away day travel advice.
And we haven't got George Lampy in the studio here today, but his glamorous assistant, his glorious replacement.
The next best thing.
The next best thing, Stan Godwin.
I've got to tell you, Johnny, that went much better in rehearsal.
That's fine. Yeah. The buttons are tricky, to be fair. I've been there.
Okay, right. Well, the first thing is that the majority of pubs in Wigan Town Centre will accept away fans.
Lovely.
Right. The nearer to the ground, we have the Red Robin, which is only a 2-minute walk away. At the ground itself is a bar named The Marquee. This is away fans only and is situated within the north stand. And with regards to parking for coaches and cars, this is situated on the stadium, on Stadium Way, and is only a 5-minute walk to the ground.
All sounds very convenient, very nicely delivered, Stan, as well. Thank you. And I'm delighted to say that we're joined on the line by Barry Worthington of Latics Spake. Good evening, Barry. Thanks ever so much for joining us. We've heard that there are going to be many pubs welcoming Millwall fans. Are you looking forward to the visit?
Yeah, I'm absolutely, Johnny. Yeah, it's the last game of the season. It should be, both the pressure's off both clubs. It should be an entertaining affair.
Well, I think we're going to come down and show our appreciation to you, Barry, for beating Leeds, because we all hate Leeds. But that was your game, though, Barry, wasn't it?
Yeah,
that turned it round for you, because losing a man and, you know, going 1-0 down, and that was some performance, mate, I've got to be honest.
Yeah, I think it's possibly the best performance of the season for us. It was fully deserved as well. We could have won with a couple more goals. We should have had a penalty. And we had a couple of good chances as well. We really played well that day. I think Leeds probably bottled it as well. I don't like to say that about Leeds.
We like to say that, Barry. Yeah. Leeds bottled it. We like saying it.
May also add a thank you from another Millwall fan for beating that team. I can't say their name. I've got to ask you, as a Wigan fan that you are, what happened to Will Grigg?
See, I'm speechless. I don't know. The majority of supporters didn't want to see him go. We wanted him to stay. The club thought it was a good financial decision. Sunderland paid us £4 million for him, for a player that we paid £1 million for. He hadn't set the Championship on fire. But, you know, he's a Wigan Athletic legend. He's been brilliant for us. And he's welcome back anytime. We all love him to bits. He's a character off the field as well. And he's fired us to promotion twice. Nobody'd have a bad word said against him. But it was a financial decision made by the club. They got £4 million for him and off he went.
Yeah, good business, but I think he's a terrific striker. I wish he could have come and joined us.
Yeah, the only thing he liked was a little bit of pace. Every season took him a little bit to get going. But once he got going, the back end of each season with us, he fired the goals in. People said he couldn't do it in the Championship. I don't know if that's true or not. He suffered with injuries this season, and the last time was in the Championship with him. Same thing again, he had a hamstring injury, which kept him out for probably a third of the season as well. So, he was hit with injuries in the Championship. But, he's not doing it at the moment at Sunderland, but I think he's playing in a poor Sunderland team. I think that's part of the problem down there.
Barry, we got a glorious back page on the Wigan Post tomorrow. Your headline, Rhys is your captain leaving, because of course Mr. James is going to lead the Latics out against Millwall as a recognition of the wonderful season he's had on loan from Chelsea. How much are you going to miss him, and how far can he go in the game?
He'll go all the way. There's no two ways about it. He turned 19 in December, and this is his first season of playing men's football. He's been playing kids' football up until the start of the season. And he dominates games. He absolutely dominates them. His physique, he's built like a 25, 26-year-old. he's got all the attributes. I mean, he's come as a fullback, but he plays centre midfield now.
Tells you all you need to know, doesn't it?
Barry, is he staying here? I mean, congratulations on beating Leeds, by the way, because, you know, we love it. But I only saw the highlights of that game, but I tell you one game I did see where I thought, and I tell you what, in all honesty, I thought, having watched it, when you played Norwich at home, about 3 weeks ago, wasn't it, or something like that?
Yeah, the game before.
Yeah,
game.
And I was watching it, and I thought to myself, well, if we have to come up there with you needing something out of that game, and you were playing against us like you played for Norwich, I mean, I didn't fancy our chances at all, but I mean, in the end, but you played really well. And what struck me with you was, because Norwich are a good footballing side, they're a good passing team. And yet what you didn't do, you didn't let them play. I mean, all right, you got in amongst them and whatever, and eventually they sort of, that's, you know, but that was a good performance. And I thought, you was a good team there.
Yeah, it's been a strange season, this, for us, because the way we finished the season is how we started it. We did a lot of high pressing. Didn't let teams tackle on the ball. We counter-attacked quickly. We played with a lot of passion. Mid-season, it seemed to go off the rails when we played you at your place, and we missed that penalty, and that was it. And it was downhill from then on until I think we've we our away form has been absolutely shocking, and we've only won one game all season up until, you know, we went to Leeds and did that. You know, the other victory was at Stoke. We've not kept a clean sheet away from home all season. It's just the away form that's done us. But if we could have had an half decent mid season, we'd definitely been top half, definitely.
Mm. Barry, and the biggest question of all, of course, is how do you see it going against Millwall? Score prediction, please.
Well, I think you're going to be a little bit open. We'll be a bit open. We're very good at home. I see us winning 2-0, 2-1-ish. I'll go for 2-1.
Barry, you were so popular in the studio until then. Have to go and do a thing like that. No, Barry, it's been lovely speaking to you. Thanks ever so much for your time. Barry Worthington there of Latics Spake. Confident as well of the ability of young Reece James, which is always good to hear about an English talent. Are you guys similarly confident? Do you think that we're going to get a result against Wigan?
May I say 1-1? I say it every time I'm here. I mean, I must be the Lee Gregory fan club because he's going to score.
You are the Lee Gregory fan club.
He's going to score. He's going to score. We're going to get a draw. I'm sure Fred won't be playing. and I don't think Archer will be playing either. We're going to get a draw.
Worth noting, of course, that Tom King won't feature either. He is on a season-long loan at AFC Wimbledon. That's come straight from Eamon Barkley, who, in not being with us in the studio, is, of course, still overseeing things like Q. Magnificent stuff from Eamon. Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Barkley.
He's like the sort of godfather of No One Likes Us Talking.
He is. Yeah. He's terrifying.
Oh, yeah, you know, that's right.
In terms of how you should approach the game, then, are we going to see youngsters? Are we going to go, well, go on then, young Mr. Alexander, have a pop? Or is it going to be a little more measured from Mr. Harris?
It's difficult to weigh up in a sense, but listen to what Neil said the other night. I would be surprised if there isn't a few youngsters around about, certainly on the bench, if not actually in the starting lineup. We just signed up young Danny McNamara. I'm not sure whether he can play.
He's very promising, that
He's
boy.
A promising yeah. young lad. Maybe he might appear if he's available. we signed 7 or 8 pros, haven't we? You know, at the end of the day, there's nothing on the game and it may well just be a good experience for the boys. I understand what they'll say. At the end of the day, you still don't want to lose a game. You still want to put a side out there that's going to compete. I'm hoping and praying that it ain't Lee Gregory's last game. By the way, you never know. Things could change in the summer. You don't know. At the end of the day, somebody's got to want Lee Gregory. I don't know that he could go somewhere. I don't know where he could go somewhere better than us, if I'm honest. But let's keep our fingers crossed on that. But yeah, listen, there's no harm in giving a few young lads a try out.
I mean, we're restricted by injuries anyway, right? And my view would be that if you know, these players that Harris is referring to was playing on Tuesday night, you know, they want to get away and they whatever, then to me, if I was picking a team, I'd say, well, then you better start packing now, mate.
Well, I've got to tell you, I don't think anybody looked like they wanted to go away on Tuesday night. The strange, typical football strange, at Stoke, against Stoke, we was rubbish. We was lucky to get a point, to be quite honest. We didn't really turn up. Bristol City, we should have won.
Yeah.
Mm. We're by far the better side.
If they'd have put the penalty away, Williams would have put that, but it'd have been 2-0 game over, end of story.
Talking about those Harris comments, do you think we might be able to infer which players he was talking about if he leaves out any previously first team regulars against Wigan?
Well, I mean, in the last game, O'Brien and Wallace were left out, well, so I thought, but then it appeared that they were both injured.
He can't be wanting to get rid of Jed Wallace, can he?
Well, no. Jed Wallace is a terrific player, but I'd love to see him get a real bit of coaching into him because, I'm sorry to say it, but I call him the cul-de-sac. He goes down dead ends. And, you know, he's got so much skill. I mean, when he's on the ball, the crowd are like lifted. Mm. He's our Hazard. But obviously he doesn't score many goals as Hazard. And that's a good point in fairness. He doesn't score very many goals. Is it time for Wallace to play behind a front one or front two? I don't see him as a right winger. I see Romeo more creative going forward. Romeo, I think, is very much wasted as a right back. He's got so much to offer going forward.
And it's been talked about him, Romeo, playing in midfield before. But for me, you know, when you start talking about attacking midfield players, I mean, he just fits the bill for me.
Mm. And will he be at the club next season?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Unless someone comes in for $3 million.
Yeah. So will Jed. Jed will definitely be there. I mean, he has been struggling the last few weeks, as I understand it, with a little bit of a... They've been patching him up and getting him out there, basically, until we got ourselves safe. So I don't think there's any problem with Jed whatsoever. I think he'd definitely be there. Marlon Romeo, is it, I mean, this has been touted about for all season, to be quite honest. Mm. Is he worth a chance playing that bit further forward than that? I mean, what I would say is if you're going to have a look at it, you've got pre-season to do that. Let's see if he can do it. Put him out there, or even tomorrow, as in a sense, if you're looking to next season,
yeah.
Let's see whether Marlon can do it. Because it's not as straightforward as people think, because you're in a different part of the pitch, you accept the ball in different positions.
Yeah.
Mm. Marlon Romeo is great running forward. I'm not sure what Marlon Romeo will be like with his back to goal, which happens sometimes.
How's his footballing brain as well is the other thing we've got to find out.
But you won't, you know, again, you won't find that out until you put a bit of work in on a training pitch or in games to see what he does.
Absolutely right. Well, it's that time of the show. It's Race By, where I have to press you for your predictions. What are we going for?
1-1, Gregory to score.
Gregory to score, as per 1-1, Gregory to score.
I'll go for a draw.
You go for a draw?
Yeah.
Well, we're all being so predictable. I think it'll be Wigan 0, Millwall 5.
There we go. And Gary Alexander's son to score 6.
Gets all
5.
One like his dad from Wembley.
You wouldn't argue with that, would you?
No.
Well, if you're good enough, you're old enough.
I can say one thing, Johnny. I did say earlier about him being in front of me doing it. And they do a bit where they hit the ball at first on the floor. Then one volley. He hit this volley. Tommy Letts went there, everyone, he hit it right in the top corner.
Well,
I thought, there you go. There you go.
Hopefully we see that against Wigan. Join.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.